You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
It's 1 o'clock, and it's time off.
Let's talk Venezuelans.
Okay.
Hello, how you doing?
How you been, my friends? How you been, David? How you been, Brad?
Bien, gracias.
Oh, Lord. Your Spanish is better than my English. Wow.
Love it.
Okay, do you know why this time is named a pandemic?
Why?
Because everybody becomes a panda. Oh my. I don't want to wait myself, you know?
After the quarantine, everybody's coming a little heavy, right?
Yep.
Well, let's go straight to the news.
Okay, let's go straight
So we're going to start with Europe, like Switzerland. Mm-hmm. They are considering to reopen economy and their life starting on the 27th of April with the hospitals.
Okay.
Urgent cares and outpatient procedures, dentals, physical therapy, going back to normal. Mm-hmm. On the 27th of this month. And then on the 11th...
Which countries?
Switzerland. We're talking about Europe.
Okay.
And then on the 11th of May, mm-hmm. after, you know, the week of Mother's Day, mm-hmm. on the 11th of May, they're going to start reopening all the schools, primary, secondary, colleges, university, everything that it comes to...
And on May 12th is your birthday.
Why do you have to say that?
Nobody knows it.
I want to keep it quiet, man. Damn. No, hombre.
Okay.
No, that's not even funny. No.
I didn't say your age, just your day, your birthday.
And the library is going to start opening up in June the 8th. So okay. Europa is going back to... Business. Going back to open up the economy. Now, United States. So you tell me what's going on with the reporters and President Trump. Every time he comes to the Rose Garden, to talk to the reporters, and they are talking already about reopening the economy. So tell me, what's going on here in United States?
The president has given each governor the faculty to open the economy on their own pace. Mm-hmm. So those states that do not have that kind of problem, overwhelming problem, they can open their economy using the guidance of the governor, mm-hmm. and respecting what the Constitution says about mm-hmm. the separation, the federal, the state, and the local governments.
So are you telling me that these people, they don't know how the government and how the level of government works, or are they just giving President Trump a hard time?
Both.
So these news, people, they don't really know how the government works?
No.
Are they really think that we are in Venezuela? Like, Hugo Chavez used to say, okay, let's do this, and everybody follow what he says?
Yes.
But it doesn't make no sense. What school did they go to?
Well, that's the problem. The old school is over. Now everybody's into a pool, you know, and that's the main problem of modern journalism. Mm-hmm. That everybody got the same news from the same sources instead of looking for the news. By the way, today somebody told me about the passing of Maria Epabón.
Okay.
Who is she? She was one of the most important journalists in the golden age of journalists in Venezuela during the 60s and 70s. She was born in Colombia.
Okay.
She came very, very early age to Venezuela. I think she was 14 years old when she went to Venezuela.
Okay.
During that period of time that Colombians went to Venezuela.
What year was that?
In the 60s.
That's exactly when my parents are David. They immigrated to Venezuela in the 60s when the economical situation in Colombia was so bad.
Yes.
There are a lot of Colombians immigrated to Venezuela.
And she got her journalist degree in Venezuela. And she used to be working with my mom a lot of projects with the Cadena Capriles in Venezuela.
Okay.
And she just passed away today by coronavirus. In Miami.
Where did she pass? In Miami?
In Miami, yes.
Okay. That's very bad news.
Yes.
Because did you know that Florida is one of the states that are being affected by the coronavirus? So it's basically five states. New York State, California, Florida, Illinois, where Chicago, all that area. And I'm living in one state of New Jersey. New Jersey. And actually, when the pandemic started, a lot of people from New York flew down to Florida. And the governor, he moved in the National Guard into the airport and have them check them and put them in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So they were escaping New York, but they were bringing the sickness to Florida. And that's why Miami, Fort Lauderdale, you know, the south area where there's a lot of Latinos living in there,
mm-hmm.
that's why the sickness over there is very...
Speaking,
mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that's what happened today in Miami. Well, rest in peace. Unfortunately, is the first victim that I knew her.
That I knew that you knew the person.
Yes.
That is sad. How old was she?
She must be around 80 now.
Yeah, you know. that's the age.
Yes.
Delicate.
But the Italians made a truly investigation about what is the real mechanism on the coronavirus.
Okay.
And they found that it's not through the
air,
mm-hmm. but through the blood.
It's through the blood. Okay.
Yes, the virus, and now they understand the mechanism why people with O kind of blood get less sick than the people with A, B, or AB kind of blood.
I am AB.
You are in high risk.
I am in a high risk.
Yes, yes. Because
it's a matter of the kind of
proteins that the bloodstream has,
mm-hmm.
in the different kind of blood.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the virus came into the nasal sinus,
mm-hmm.
and through the nasal sinus they get into the bloodstream.
Okay,
and it creates with the proteins, it creates thrombosis.
Like
thrombosis goes into the lungs. That's why they have that kind of problems. That's why the antibiotics is good against this sickness, because the antibiotics destroy some of the proteins that
mm-hmm.
create this problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the Italians did a very good research in how the sickness develops, because
mm-hmm.
at the beginning we didn't know what happened with the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody thought that the virus came into the lungs,
no.
and through the lungs were
it's
the
not
problem.
Into the lung.
No,
it's through the nostrils.
Into the nostrils and goes into the blood, and that's why this virus is so dangerous, because it attacks many many systems.
The blood is the one who had the red, the white, you know, even the one that defends you against the infections. You know, the blood is like the Bible say, the blood is the life.
Yes.
You know, and it's proteins. I mean, it's a lot of elements that are together make up the blood.
Yes. And the basic thing is that they know now why the chloroquine works and why the antibiotics, even though antibiotics you don't have it when you have some viral, but in this case the antibiotics, the thing that they do is destroy some proteins that fix the virus into the red cells and create all this problem. So they are very near, not only with a very effective treatment that we already know since the Australians find that
chloroquine.
Yes, they found it in Australia almost at the beginning of all this thing. And when the president says that the chloroquine is the key,
it might be the key. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And do you remember how the press
attacking? You're not a doctor. You cannot be saying things like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, it might work. It may not work, but we're gonna try."
Yes. Yes. And do you know something? When President Trump talks about that theme, it's because he has all the elements and all the questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't talk about that theme without knowing what he's talking about. And do you know something? Ben Carson is his right hand and all this stuff.
Oh yeah, because regardless, Ben Carson is the secretary of HUB. He's in charge of, you know, the housing for the very needy citizens. He was included in the task in this emergency. So basically, what President Trump was, pull him out from his job and say, "Here, I need you here. I need you cover my back here." Because these people, people are finding out who are each one of these people belong to. You know? They used to work before in the Bush administration, in the Obama administration, in the Clinton administration, with Bill Gates. I mean, there is a lot of things coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
The president knew about it, but he has to make a task force for, you know, to confront this sickness. But he have his personal doctor. His personal friend, who's a doctor, who is Ben Carson, to be part of the task.
The thing is that he organized, beginning with the Vice President Pence, he put Vice President Pence
in charge,
okay? He put Ben Carson in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He put a lot of specialists in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So the decisions on this matter is into a multidisciplinary team.
Yes.
That already did.
They're giving the results now. Did you see the lawmaker from Illinois? I don't know if you heard about that, David. A lawmaker from Illinois came to the White House to thank you. You know, to thank the president. Say, "Thank you, President Trump." And she's a Democrat. Because she followed his advice back in those days when he said the chloroquine, and everybody was attacking him.
Yeah.
She talked to her doctor and she insisted to her doctor to give her chloroquine. And because she took that advice from our president, she is alive today. She went to the White House. He brought some people who survived, including her as a lawmaker, a Democrat. He brought a football player. He brought a baseball player.
I saw
player.
The news conference.
You see that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's for Americans to understand that this situation that we're going through, this pandemic, is not something political.
No.
This is about the best, getting the best, and getting our people back to health.
Do you realize that one of our hosts is considered the best and is not with us anymore, or not for a few weeks, General Dix. Mm-hmm. General Dix is the best in logistics.
Logistics, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's been called back into the Army.
You see?
And he's handling the logistics of the mask and ventilators mm-hmm. and all wherever mm-hmm. wherever they are and wherever they're needed. That's mm-hmm. his job to get them from wherever they
Thank
are.
Thank you for his service.
Thank you for his service.
You see, and, those are the kind of people that we put politics aside, our interest, personal interests aside, and we work together because, like the sun says, we are in this together. Mm-hmm. We have to pull it together because if we don't pull it together, David, could you imagine if we let this country go? Where are we going? I was talking to Carlos on the way back here. I said, Carlos, if this country go, let's say, communist, where are these free people with the freedom thinking, with the mentality of get off my back, government, get off my back, get off my pocket, government? Where do they think they're going to go? Because there is no other place in this world, in this planet. There is no other place that you can be free. If we don't pull in this time together, putting on the side Democrat, putting Republican, putting Libertarian, no. Leave that for a moment, please. We need to pull it together and lift up this country.
Well, I doubt that you all got a chance to listen to it, but my show today at 10 o'clock, there was a guy on named Tommy Clack, and he's a triple amputee from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. He is a Vietnam veteran and lost all of his right arm and both legs, and all he has is, but he is the most inspirational person you'll ever listen to.
Okay.
He has no problems. He does it by himself and for himself with one hand and one arm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just very inspirational and says, you know, we will, like you said, we will, because we are America,
mm-hmm.
get through this.
We
have the, and I it's a good thing I'm not president, because I would have launched them today or yesterday when China came out and said, oh yeah, we just wanted to show the world that we're better than the United States. You hadn't heard that?
Oh yeah.
They came out and said that what they were doing in the lab, they knew what they were doing, and they just wanted to show that China was better than the United States. That's about the time I would have pushed the button, and but I'm not president, nor will I be president. But I just, you know, and I'm sorry, and this is one of the first places I will really object to Trump. Communism, be it Russian communism, Cuban communism, Venezuelan communism, or China communism, they're not our friends.
They are not.
And I wouldn't trust them as far as I could pick up Carlos and throw him. And I know for a fact I couldn't do that very far. So, no, we shouldn't trust them at all. And,
well, this, what we're going through now, David, is teaching us a big lesson. It's teaching us a big lesson that the philosophy that the Democratic Party had about China, oh no, we're going to let them do this because by their experience in capitalism, they're going to become, that's not true. Look, in Spanish, we have an expression. When you sew him, you take the needle, right? And the ladies in my countries, I don't know, here in the United States, they have something, they always put something here, like a
thimble.
Like a cover,
a thimble.
Uh-huh.
A thimble.
Yeah. So when they sew, they push with that the needle, so you don't have to hurt your finger. Okay. The expression that we have about communists, they are like that. When they do a stitch something, they are not stitching them without something protecting them. They always do something in their best interest. And their best interest is not our best interest.
No.
Okay?
No, not at all.
And like you just said, communists from here, from over there, you just say the names. And I can keep on telling you other countries who are communists. Their best interest is to destroy United States.
And I've you all have heard me say this. And anybody that's listening, well, he's just a conspiracist, and this is all a conspiracy type thing. My opinion is this has been planned for years and years and years, and whether they knew it was going to be the COVID-19 or something else or what, that I can't answer.
Look, what I know is this. They will not allow United States to become the first country in the world in every aspect, like Trump was developing the country, right? They wouldn't allow that to happen because that would show the world the communist doesn't work, period.
Yes. You know,
so they sabotage. That's what they do. They sabotage. They sabotage, make America great again, the 3 years of job. 3 years of job. By, like, every time the president addressed the nation, he say, we had the best economy known in the world for many years. This was the best economy. And suddenly everything...
There's one other thing that I want to mention today on your show, and that is that people should go to Google or wherever they want to go to look it up and look at the number of Muslims that are running for political office across the United States.
20,000, honey. 20,000 are Muslims, political Islamists. I'm going to talk how it is. Political Islamists with the practice of Muslim, they are pursuing positions in United States from the local level, county level, state level, federal level. 20,000. While...
Because they want to take over the United States.
Yes. While the Christians who were the one who founded this country, yes, the Christians, you like it or not, that's the history. Christian and Judeo-Christian founded this country, period. While the Jews and the Christian are so
lazy.
Focus in their businesses or focus in, praise the Lord is coming tomorrow. We're going to be here waiting for the Lord. And we are allowing these people take those positions. And then you as a Christian, no, I am not allowed to get into politics. Let me tell you something. I am a theologian, okay? I went to the seminary. I have a degree in theology. Let me tell you something. If you do not get involved in politics... Politics will get involved in your personal life. It will get involved in your pocket, and it will get involved in your churches. As simple as that. If you don't take charge right now, we are called to be ambassadors here in this planet. But what an ambassador do when they go to another country? They are not sitting in the chair just blowing air. What an ambassador do in another country? They do transactions. They do business. They keep up with life. They talk about security. They take care of the economy. They take care about dealing this country with my country who I am ambassador for or council, whatever. Mm-hmm. They continue doing. They are not part of that country, but they continue. That's the Christians supposed to be doing the same thing. We're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be pursuing this. Get out from your couches. Get off from your, like you say, from your laziness, and then don't complain later because we have a Ilhan Omar in the house. Don't complain later because we have a Rashida Taliban, like this lady called her tablet, in the house. Do not complain because people over there elected Andre Carson, another Muslim, in the intelligence committee. Do not complain because you didn't do your part. You didn't do your part. And the pastors... Now I'm going to talk to the pastors. You guys, I'm leaving you outside of this. But the pastors, they are so concentrated about prosperity, they forgot to talk about our responsibility as citizens. They forgot about to talk about our responsibility as a Christians. They forgot about to teach their members about repentance. This is the right moment, David, for repentance for this country. This is the right moment. And then we hear Cuomo yesterday in New York. God didn't do this. We did it. The same attitude that that he got is the same attitude of September 11 when those two towers, the Twin Towers, came down. People started saying, oh, we're going to build a better and a bigger building. And this, instead of repenting and say, Lord, we took you out of schools. We took you out of our life. We took you out of everything. That's why we were attacked. This is the second hit for United States. I just wanted to see what the pastors now are going to be doing. Because guess what? Your churches now are being affected. People are not going to your churches. So if you don't have people coming to your churches, let's talk business. Because every organization in this planet has the business part. Every organization in this planet has a business. Your radio has a business part of the radio. A church has a business part of the job. Because you need to pay bills, yes or no? So, now, pastors, what are you going to do with your big churches and your churches are empty? What did I say about the Pope on Sunday, Resurrection Day? What did I say to you about the Pope in the church? In the church, no, in the cathedral. By himself, there was no people in there. What the Bible say? Where is the church is? Where is two or three, in my name, I will be there. He was by himself. So this is a big lesson for churches too, because a lot of churches are corrupted too. They are corrupted. They are taking money from Hank Johnson, from Lucy Matbaugh. They are taking money from all these politicians just for them to not talk about abortion, to not talk about gay marriage, to not talk about sin, to not about talking about repenting or nothing. Just like prosperity. This is a big hit for the big churches, for the pastors. Now the pastors get what they have to do. They have to go now to the houses. They need to go and see their
parishioners.
Yes, they need to go to their houses and now...
Now every house is a
church.
Temple.
It's a temple now. Every church,
because
every
it's
house.
it's not only the Christians, it's also the Jews. You know, they have to now be in their faith at home.
Like in the primitive time, back in those days where every house has... a leader in the house teaching 5-6 per member of the house. And the houses were like 10 members, right? Because of mom and dad and 8 kids. Those are the house. Then that person in the house was in charge of the house. Now that's what we are doing. That's what we are seeing now. So what are you going to do now, you pastors? I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying some of you, pastor, priest, whatever you want to call a bishop. What are the other titles?
Rabbis.
What are you going to do now? The Lord is calling. The Lord is calling for repentance. And we need to repent. New York is in big trouble. Because his leader, who was Cuomo, he came and said that.
What about de Blasio?
And de Blasio. Okay? And then what's going on? Instead of they say, okay, this is that Franklin Graham was there in Central Park. He was there not only inaugurating those temporary hospitals that the Samaritan Purse built.
Samaritan Purse.
Yeah, they built under his leadership. Mm-hmm. But in Resurrection Day, what we call the Easter Day, Franklin Graham was there giving a preach. He and the pianist. Nobody else was around him. He was like a restoring the spiritual leadership in New York. And then we find out this Cuomo saying, God didn't do this, we did it. Instead of humiliating and asking for forgiveness and asking God for mercy so more people can be safe in New York. So now we are in that, you know, when you have, you going and you have two ways, this way or that way, which one you're going to be taking? That's what I analyze, and that's what I call for. We need to repent. We need to ask for the Lord to give us a second chance. This is a second chance again, because September 11 was, we asked for a chance, and he gave us a chance. He gave us Trump now. And now what are we going to do? Are we going to keep on going the same way that we were thinking, or are we going to change? Are we going to change our heart? Are we going to change our priorities? Because that's another thing, David. A lot of ladies are going crazy because they don't know what to do with their kids at home. Explain me that. There is so much thing that you can do at home with your kids.
You know, they shouldn't have had them to begin with, probably. And the other thing is, if given the opportunity, this could be the greatest thing going. I have no family, but it could be the greatest thing going if the families united and were able to talk to their kids, able to not do the homework for their kids, but work with them on their homework or whatever. And get, you know, I've noticed over the years, the older I've gotten, and I knew my boys very well, I thought. I knew one of them very well, and the other one has deserted me, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, get to know your kids. And the kids need to go to get to know their parents, too. And not, you know, what this country needs, in my opinion, is discipline. And the parents should be the ones disciplining. And, you know, they're the ones that should make the rules and live by the rules and let the kids
know. We need to teach them values. We need to teach them ethic. We need to teach them respect. Moral. We need to teach them the difference between honor and loyalty. Because you can, I can be honoring you, you know, giving you your honor because you are doing so and so. But if I am not loyal to you, that's another thing that goes together with it. It should go together, you know. So we are not all these values.
Like liberty, freedom, and responsibility.
Exactly. We need to be teaching our kids all those values.
And respect.
Exactly, respect. Look what the Bible says in the Ten Commandments. One of the
honor thy father and thy mother.
Yeah, it doesn't say if your father behave good. It doesn't say if your mother behave good or if your mother is good or bad. It doesn't say none of that. It just says honor your father and your mother. So
their time may be limited.
Exactly. So we are always, as a human beings, we are trying to find out, yeah, but she's nasty. No, but he's nasty. I don't like his attitude. No matter what, the Lord says honor your father and your mother. You know why? Because I said that yesterday in my friend's house. How you treat your parents today is the way that your kids will treat you tomorrow. Because you are setting an example. Mm-hmm. How the society is treating the old people today, and you are part of that society, me, 50, 40, 30, you are treating those old people,
and 20,
society.
And 20-something.
In the society, how you treat the elderly, you're going to be treated that in the future the same way. Because you are setting the path. You are setting the
example.
The policies. You're setting the policy. I went to Tucker before this pandemic. I couldn't believe what I was listening in Tucker. I went to the commission, the mayor and the commissioners, the city council. I went over there, David, and they were listening to people who were asking permission to the city to open up daycare for elderlies. And another one was asking for permission to open up a daycare for disabled people, very slow people, you know. Citizens, they're citizens, they collect their money, but their parents are visiting, you know, they need something to put them during the day, so it became on. Could you believe, David, that a lot of people show saying no, that they don't want that in their cities?
And
I'm talking, and even old people went over there saying that they didn't want those businesses opening in different communities, because then the traffic, the street is going to have a lot of traffic. Second, because if they're going to have a van, the noise of the van backing up, beep, beep, is going to be bothering their ears, okay? I just couldn't believe what my ears. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I said, and then the most disappointed part was seeing three different set, all people opposing to that. You know what I told one of the nurses? I said, at the end says that your business is going to be available even for them when they get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it at the end. My business, when they pass it and they approve it, because that's being part of society. They are part of the society. They are part of the city. They are part of the community. How are you going to shove them out? Where are they going to put them? So how you treat those people now, because you are young, you are 30, 40, you think you're not going to get into that age in the future?
You know, this is, I'm learning a lot from our master Kung Fu that we have, that's starting his own show on us on this Friday. He's done a couple of shows, but he'll be on.
So you had the little grasshopper?
Yeah. He was orphaned at 3 years old,
okay.
And the monks took him in, and he is a master of Kung Fu.
Wow.
And,
that's interesting. I'm going to...
It's a Shaolin monk.
Okay.
And, but he's also a Christian. He's a Presbyterian.
Okay.
And is very, very learned, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he and I were talking about one of the things that I have all the respect for in Eastern people is the way they treat their elderly, you know?
Yes.
They don't kick them out. They don't say, you're old, get out.
Mm-hmm.
You're worthless, get out.
No.
They say, you know, you took care of me, I'll take care of you.
It's a matter of honor. It's honor.
Yes.
It's responsibility.
And no matter what the question is, and there is someone at the table that's older than you, they make the call, you know, that because they have the age, experience, and they've been there, done that, whatever the case, but they have all the respect in the world for the elderly, which, and, you know, unfortunately, us Westerners don't grow up that way, and I admitted and asked forgiveness for the way I treated my mother, particularly as she grew old, and we should respect and look at what the East does. And by the way, his show is on Fridays at 10 o'clock, and this Friday we're starting a new thing, and that is the first few minutes will be meditation, and he'll be on camera and showing how to meditate and how to get over, how to increase your immunity, and not only get over, but stop the virus from potentially getting into your body.
Yeah,
because the stress and all that help out to get those inside your body.
Yeah.
It makes all sense. It makes all sense. But let me tell you something. What you just said a few minutes ago, the most important part now is about, you know, okay, I behave, I did this, I did that. But, you know, Jesus is there to forgive. Jesus is there to forgive you, to forgive me, to forgive you. But not only that, Jesus is there. He did it for you. He's offering you the forgiveness. But now it's up to me to forgive myself too. And that's a weight. It's like a big rock that we always carry in our bag when we have some kind of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what we have to do is, he also give the solution in the Bible. Come to me, all who are heavy and...
heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes, and then put all that in his feet by the cross. Put it, give it to him. And you, everybody, I'm talking about to everybody, you're going to feel the release.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel release. You're going to feel peace, in inner peace, like the Shaolin, you know, inner peace. But not only that, you're going to feel the connection with God and you, that by you doing the right thing. By you doing the right thing. Because it's better to do it now before we leave this side of the dimension and not leave it for later, when there is no chance of forgiveness, when there is no chance of changing, when there is no chance of
doing
what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I know now I am preaching like a theologian, but that's the beauty about this pandemic. The beauty part of this pandemic is we are home. We are analyzing what we did in the past, we are doing in the present, we are taking care of our kids.
Even my daughter asked me for a Bible.
She asking for a Bible. A teenager, 18 years old, today, asking an old person, yes, a viejito, an old person, elderly, for a Bible. Something is going on, David. Something is going on in the mechanism, right? In the environment, in the situation.
I don't think you can be breathing today and not realize that Carlos can't fix it, I can't fix it, the president can't fix it, nobody can fix it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's only one entity that can. And it's up to us to, you know, revert back to where we came from. And, you know, I walked into Brett's office a little while ago, and I'm, you know, it's just like, I don't think it's going to be over with for a while. I think it's going to take a good while. Mm-hmm. And nobody has the answer, and it's like going in the grocery store now. It's like you're walking past people, and it's like the deer in the headlights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's like a going back to basics, like
me,
my family, my children. It's like the priorities are reset again. Before it was, oh, my car payment, my house payment, you know, all that. Oh, let's go out for dinner. Not anymore, honey. Now you got to stay home. You got to learn how to deal with your family. Now you got to know how to deal with your husband, with your... Husbands are discovering their wives. How? Oh, she's not a blonde. She's a brunette. Things like that, you know?
Who's that lady that's laying on my couch?
Exactly. So, my kids, how I'm going to... Well, those are your children. You're supposed to be in charge of those children before you send them to school. You shouldn't rely on school to take care of them. Mm-mm. Now it's your turn, so you have to figure it out. Nobody was born with a manual under the reason, with a manual under here when you have the babies, when you have your kids. You have to learn it on your own.
You know, like I said, we had Tommy Clapp, or Clack on CLACK today. Tommy Clack. What an inspiration. You're talking about you're not born with a manual, but he was in Vietnam and lost all of his right arm, both legs,
mm-hmm.
and all he has is his left hand. And talking about relearning, I mean, how, you know,
mm-hmm.
personally. And he's more alive of any of us.
He, like he said, he thanks God every morning for waking him up and letting him be alive for a new day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, this is a process to relearn. Like just.
Yeah, but I talked to him for quite some time last night, and, you know, it was like, I couldn't imagine. He's talking about starting all, you know, he talked about, well, I had to learn how to write left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
I was right-handed. And, I mean, just everything, you know,
yes.
Everything, getting around in his house. And I said, well, Tommy, do you have somebody at your house that helps you? And he said, no, my wife divorced me mm-hmm. 8 years after we'd been married, and that he's all on his own. He said, well, my parents taught me how to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes hunting, he goes fishing, and
mm-hmm.
I said, well, one of these days, he doesn't live that far from me. I said, one of these days, I'll come by and pick you up, and we'll go have Mexican food. And he said, no, I'll come by and pick you up in my van, because I can't get in and out of your car, but I can get in and out of my van.
You see?
And mm-hmm. I'll drive.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he is totally independent. And,
yeah.
I bet
you he adapts his car in such a way that he goes with a little car and he drives himself, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like relearning. And this
yeah.
is the time, David, to relearn.
It is.
Relearn.
Right.
Relearn. All these old habits that we had, all this way, old way of thinking that we have to discharge all that and restart new back again.
You know, this is, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm just a poor dumb boy from Texas, but this is when the parents ought to take the bull by the horns, and I am the parent,
mm-hmm.
and this is the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to some of the people that have kids that are teaching them from home now, you know, and setting up their schedules and doing this and doing that, and they're right. And it's like you said, this may be the best thing that ever happened to the United States.
I believe
or to
so.
The world.
I believe so, because we need to understand the money comes and money goes. Life Life don't. You have your life, and you define your life. You define your future by making decisions now. That's it. So if you don't take advantage of changing a lot of things now, no matter how old you are young, youngster, or you are old or elderly, whatever, if you don't make those changes now before you go to the other side, when I say the other side, you know, when the Lord calls us, there's not going to be chance for you to change in the other side. The whole chances that you have to change and become better, better person, better servant, better citizen, better son, better brother, better father, better uncle, better friend, better business owner, better neighborhood, you know, neighbor, to the neighbors.
Yeah. Going back to the basics.
I think this is the time for that. And the only way that we can do it is by repenting, take charge of your responsibilities, because you need to understand that somewhat a lot of things was your responsibility.
Yeah.
My responsibility. All my failures, most of them, because it was my responsibility. I didn't do what I supposed to do. I ended up doing whatever I wanted to do, in my case. So this is a great chance. I mean, the Lord is giving us that chance. It's up to us what we're going to do with that chance.
Amen.
You want to go to a commercial?
No, we'll just
Okay. So now we're going to talk about, now you were talking about your daughter, that she's asking you for a Bible.
Not only she asked me for a Bible.
Okay.
She told me about this guy, Kanye West.
Okay. And I told her. I said that last year, David. Go ahead.
And I told her, baby, that's what I'm talking about for the last year, mm-hmm. about Kanye West and all the stuff. Do you follow us? Yes, Daddy. But I wasn't not so clear until this thing happened. And I said, okay.
Okay, this is what happened. Kanye West, he got sick in the 2015, right? He ended up in the hospital. I don't know if you remember. Who is he? He's a rapper.
Yeah.
He's a black rapper. Mm-hmm. He ended up in the hospital in 2015.
He was married
to Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
And they got four kids. Okay? So he got a nervous breakdown. He lost all his money that year. Everything. Okay? He lost everything. So he started.
Not everything.
He lost the money.
But he had his family.
He got his family. The lady was. That's when you find who. The real person be
who really loves you.
Who really loves you, with money or without money. That woman didn't leave him, regardless that he lost everything. What I'm talking about is this. So what happened? He got a confrontation with the Lord in the hospital. Okay? He was in bad shape. So he decided that he was leaving. He promised to the Lord that he was not going to rap any more things about, against a woman, against marriage, against that he was going to honor the Lord. So, and he started calling out the Democratic Party, saying that any black person should not be voting for the Democratic Party because they are being doing genocide in the black community. And not only that, he was saying that, but also he was saying that the Democratic Party has the people as a slave. So he was like a boom. So Maxine Waters and all these politicians start calling him out like he lost his mind. So he took a break, you know, underground, like he was doing his thing. And then one day his daughter, North, who is like a 6-7 years old now, she asked him one day, Daddy, I want to go to church.
But she was 4 at that time.
At that time she was 4. She asked him, Daddy, I want to go to church. And then he realized that he didn't have no church, regardless that he grew up in the church in Chicago with his mother. His mother used to take him to church. So he says, well, I don't have no church. I don't have no pastor. Well, I guess I have to do something for my daughter. I have to provide her a church. So what he did is he contracts some people to start singing, and then he make up the Sunday services. Because his daughter asked him. And then he started reading the Bible, you know, he was reading the Bible, and then the Lord confronted him. And last year, I wrote a blog about what he was going to do with our kids. When I say our kids, probably your grandchildren. But in my case, because my children are from the 23 down to 14 or 15. Those kids from those age are very difficult for me to reach. And when I say to reach, I'm talking about spiritual because of how the school have been working their brain, washing brain, you know, washing their brain. So when I saw him, and he's very well known because he's a rapper, and the kids are into the rapping, you know, I say, I think the Lord is going to be using this man to reach those kids. And her daughter is an example of that. She's been listening to his sons, his music, which is rapping, some kind of rapping. But
yeah.
It's mostly African. It's more like a black soul music. Back in those days, he brought it back now, mother, with a new beat. And the
album that is named the Blue Album is incredible.
Incredible.
The voice arrangement, okay, mm-hmm. He did something with some pieces of Handel that you said, wow. It's
the Hallelujah, no?
Yeah, they have that wow factor that is bringing the old way to do music into this world of rapping that you said, okay, this is a revolution, a real revolution, okay, and this is a very interesting time to be eyewitness. Okay, so
what he used to do with his Sunday service, he used to crash churches.
He gets into the churches as parishioners,
yeah.
And suddenly they began to sing.
And they started doing the worship. And mostly where he was going to the black churches. Because if you don't know, a lot of black churches, they are not teaching the Bible how they're supposed to be teaching the Bible. A lot of mega churches, especially the mega ones.
The big ones.
So he comes with this message of salvation. The disc is Jesus is King. That's the title of his disc. Jesus is King. So he comes to this church and he... So a lot of black churches are allowing a lot of LGBTs and all that to dominate the message. So he's coming with this, Jesus is King, and you know, we have to serve him, we need to forgiveness, and da 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 da. He's been kicking the pastors, because the pastors, he's doing what the pastor's supposed to be doing. You follow what I mean?
You know, the church that I did go to wanted to become inclusive. Bring in all the LGB whatevers, you know, and all this stuff. I challenge anybody to find one place in the Bible that God condones homosexuality. There are plenty of places in the Bible, in Romans, that condemns mm-hmm. homosexuality.
Yes, in Apocalypse 2, in Revelation 2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But no place does it condone.
The Leviticus, what they said in the Leviticus about homosexualism is...
In the Pentateuch, in the Torah too.
Well, it's the, it's the Leviticus. It's mm-hmm. one of the five books of the Moses, the mm-hmm. Torah. So...
You know, so, this is... It's split the Methodist Church
mm-hmm.
just recently,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to split a lot of other churches. But, mm-hmm. you know, we have to stand up for what we believe, and I don't mind standing up for what I believe at the station, be it for the military, be it for my beliefs in the Bible, be it for whatever it is. You know?
Yeah, so the great news is that we are experiencing the great awakening, the great modern awakening with Kanye West, with Dolly Parton, with that guy who, my Lord, that he sings the oh my God, what is his name? Blake. Oh my Lord, what is his name again? I forgot his name for now. But a lot of musicians now are getting into the awakening of the spiritual awakening by the churches, and you know, taking those members and but through the music. So that's something happening today that we are witnessing. And one example is my children's my children start talking about Kanye West too. But I couldn't even tell them about Jesus or nothing. They are listening through him. So the Lord is using him to get to those kids who we lost with the school system, with the college system, with the university system, because the communists, you know, they deny everything about God. But these musicians, these rappers, they are doing the part that we cannot do as a parents. So that's a great news that is happening today. And with this pandemic, like I say, only God could shut down all the countries in the planet to observe the Passover. Okay? To allow this pandemic go over us in the name of Jesus, and we will heal and nothing happened to us. And with this, and then we're going to be seeing more awakening, not only in the spiritual area. We're going to be seeing awakening in the political area. We're going to be seeing in the movies, you know, in the TVs. We're going to be seeing a lot of awakening.
Yes.
We're going to be seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's good news. It's very good.
Yeah.
Now we have to do is prioritize what is important. What is important for you now? What is important for you now? What is really important? What it really matters?
Well,
you, God, your house. That's the priority first. Yeah. It's not the car, the restaurant.
Do you remember the joke about you have two ways to pass this coronavirus crisis?
No.
A, you spend with your children and your wife.
And B.
And B.
B.
B. B.
B. We gotta show him that. You gotta show him that video. This is a guy, they asking, you got two choices to spend the pandemic, Eric. You will have two choices. A, with your wife and your kids. B, and he answered, B.
B.
B. B. B. Definitely. B.
Whatever it is. Well, I don't have either, so I can take A or B.
That was like, please.
You know? You have friends.
Yeah, we have friends.
You have a plenty of friends, and this.
And you got Jesus.
And you have something else. You have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
With this radio, now people are more informed than ever, because institutions like this that you founded, you know, we are better informed thanks to the internet media such as this radio station.
Well, you know, I've been very blessed in that it's not something that I've done. It's something that we've got the greatest hosts going, like you all, and like Dr. Barber today talking about our hospitals and talking about the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have in Victor and on within Tommy on today. I've got a colonel friend, Rick White, that supplies me with guests, and he supplied me with Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy was just fantastic, and all in, you know, Richard Dix, General Dix, mm-hmm. and on mm-hmm. of the people that we've had on or have on. And they're what makes the station, and it's not me, it's not anything I do, it's the people that give
us
their time.
But you are the core of this station. Without you, we have nothing here.
I'm the apple core.
And yes.
They're gonna throw
yes.
me at somebody.
Yes, but you are the core virus of this station.
you remember apple core, Baltimore, who's
yes.
your friend? And,
uh-huh.
No, that's I'll be tossed at somebody. Just duck. That's a
yeah, but you know. But that's
no,
without your initiative to keep this radio for almost 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it is 15.
15 yeah. years. Yeah. Okay, this is a huge effort from you. You know, we know how difficult it is to keep up this kind of projects.
Mm-hmm.
because it's not one program, it's 24/7, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you take care of that.
Yes, sir.
Or he does.
He does.
Now, we, you know, I check it at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I check it at before I leave at 6, and You want me to wrap? Oh, it is time to wrap up and go to from English to Spanish.
To Spanish. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Thank you. See you next week. Thank you so much. We'll be here next Thursday.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.